And here we are. Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO on this Ruminations Maundy Thursday in the year of our Lord, March the 24th, 2016. And being a Rumination Day, we've got a lot to talk about because we're not on the air tomorrow due to the Good Friday holiday. So I'm thankful to have with us our good friend who will help us through this, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tommy. You think we're going to get this done in 30 minutes?
Not if you keep asking questions.
Yeah, that's right. I got a lot of them for you.
Yes. Well, we thought yesterday we wanted to do the Passion, but Sharon Reardon was in with a pastor talking about a very important subject, and we would encourage you to listen to that various interview yesterday so that you could go and find out how to keep your kids safe when they go to a college. But Wes and I thought we'd want to have a few words about a movie that they always seem to be coming out during Holy Week, etc. This was called The Passion. It was on television, and it was really about the story of Jesus, but the setting was in New Orleans. And so, therefore, Jesus had his disciples. He was before Pontius Pilate. There was no actual crucifixion scenes, but there was obviously a resurrection scene. In one way, what did you think of the movie, Wes?
Well, there's two views that you can have. One that we're having today about Passion of the Pastor. The other one, I believe, is the casual viewer. You know, in talking to a few of our Illinois listeners to our broadcast, I kind of asked them what they thought. It was kind of interesting. They gave two positive reviews of it from a theatrical production. It was a nice show. It was a nice message on the one level. As you said, it was in New Orleans. And there are survivors of Katrina there. And it was a show of strength and love that the cross triumphed over everything. They gave God the credit for their survivalship. And on another level, they said, you know, San Bernardino terrorist attacks, you have the Paris attacks, Brussels, you see death and destruction in these cities. And on the other hand, you saw a positive value through New Orleans of one person takes the death and destruction, and that being Christ himself. So, you know, to a casual person, they would probably pick it up. From a pastor to pastor, I go, what a theological disaster, minefield. You got to sit down and unravel for people.
Yes, every time I look at one of these, I always have a piece of paper beside me. I also rate them. Like Noah, that was so contrary to the scripture, that movie. And fortunately, it had few people going to see it. I gave that around a 2. But this one here, on a scale of 1 to 10, I gave about a 7.5. Because they did say more than once that Jesus died for the forgiveness of sins for the entire world. They also talked about during the Lord's Supper, Jesus didn't say this bread represents my body or represents my blood. They said what it actually says. This bread is my body. This is the wine was my blood. And so there were quite a few interesting items. But then again, you know, and I think I talked to you about this, they really need a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to go through their script to make sure it's biblical. And there were about 10 things that were contrary or not according to the Bible. One of them was Jesus was in a police van being taken to the crucifixion. Remember, this was New Orleans scene. Yeah. And the two thieves were in the van with him. And what did Jesus say to the one thief?
Today you'll be with me in heaven.
Yeah, you see, the problem is that statement, paradise or heaven, didn't take place until the cross had some time after it, because both thieves railed against Jesus. And so that was one thing that I didn't like. And what was the other big thing in regard to Peter?
Oh, his denial. His denial was in the movie event was across town, and instead of in front of the Sanhedrin court yard where he was at. I found that quite interesting.
Yeah, the other thing on Peter I was thinking of is Jesus says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And then the announcer says, "Wow, what a responsibility for Peter that the future of the church is on his shoulders."
Yeah, I caught that one too, and I'm going, "Whoa, wait a minute," you know. And my wife was sitting there. She says, "I thought we always thought it was about faith."
Yes, the rock Jesus is talking about is the confession Peter had just given, not Peter himself. Now, there was a common theme throughout it, and it began right at the beginning, and it was really about love. And I don't know why people don't understand that the gospel message in the Bible is not that God loves you, because God loves a lot of people who are going to hell. So the gospel message is really that God dies for you and he rises for you. And I didn't think that came across as near as best as it could.
Right. I had that as one of my number one items that it never defined what love was. The song itself said, "When love takes over," okay? You never define when love takes over. And it went on to say that love lights the way and love moves mountains. I go, wait a minute, I didn't know that. I'd like to see the scripture passage on that one.
Well, the fact is that at the end, the gentleman made a statement, and I'll tell you, most of his statements were really good. They were accurate to the Bible. But here he says, you know, we all may have different beliefs. And he said, and I wrote this down, "No matter what you believe, surely love for our fellow man is a message we can all share." And then they had a song at the end, and not only was Jesus dancing and clapping and Peter, but I noticed also so was Judas, Pilate, and Barabbas.
Yeah, I caught that too. And the song, it was about unconditional love, and it was the unconditional love of Jesus.
Yes. Yes, and they were trying to talk about the unconditional love that we should have for one another. There's no doubt that that's part of the theology of sanctification, but that's not really the message of Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. So I'll tell you, I would, if I still had my kids at home, this would be one of the films I would want to sit with them while they watched it in order to help them understand. Here are some really good parts, and there were some good parts, and here were some parts that were contrary to the Bible.
Right, and that's where we would encourage our listeners or anybody else that we come into contact with, pick up the Gospels, read them, and put them up against what you saw in the movie. It drives you deeper into the Scriptures.
Yeah, they carried a illuminated cross. It must have been at least 30 feet long. From the stadium during Katrina all the way to the park they were at. It took them about an hour to carry, and there were all kinds of people. And I thought that was very good until they had a photograph as part of the video of a woman carrying part of the cross, and she had a collar on. And I said, no way. You know, that's just an abomination before Almighty God. And the only thing I could think about was, well, you know, maybe the people carrying the cross were confessing their sin, and maybe she had been a woman pastor and she was therefore confessing her sin of being a woman pastor. I don't know. But
yeah. Well, I thought it was good too that they took the cross through the city, because they took through the many parts of the city, the bars, the transgender, the same-sex area. It to me symbolized that Christ died for all sins, including theirs, you know.
So I think that's a really important point you're making. The one thing that I was struck with was how the listeners, and there were many, many people, there were no chairs. They stood there for maybe up to 3 hours because it was a two-hour session, and there were good videos and songs, and how emotional they got, not so much because of the songs, but because of the words that were said, especially when it came to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I was glad to see that.
Right. Well, they did do a job of pointing it to Jesus. And
yes.
And you could tell that those in the crowd were very much moved in that direction.
So it's something I would recommend for the family to sit around or for a pastor to do in a Bible study in order to point out those things with which the Bible agrees and those which we don't. But by and large, anytime I give a movie over a 6, it means it's worth watching. And this one I would give about a 7.5. I just, except for 2 songs, I just wasn't really in tune with some of the songs and the rhythm, etc. It was just not my bag of tea.
Well, are you referring to the Rodger and Hammerstein song? Or
yes.
Yeah, they did have a few of them. Yeah, as one person told me, they said, some of those could be very secular.
Yes, they were.
Could sing. Yeah.
But what was the last song? Because it was New Orleans.
Yeah, When the Saints Go Marching In.
Excellent. And in a sense, I think that could be appropriately understood because that's what Easter is all about, when the saints go marching in, which leads me to my second topic. The Jehovah Witnesses, and by the way, this was mentioned on Bates' program yesterday, has put out a track. It's entitled You'll Be With Me in Paradise. And what they do in the track, this is really interesting. I believe it went all over the country, and Jehovah Witnesses would deliver it to homes. I had one on my house and people in other states. And in that, they would have the address of the nearest Jehovah Witness place. And then they also had a code that you could scan for other locations. And the point that was made on the program yesterday was a good point. At least they're trying to get people into, I want to call it the church, because Jehovah's Witnesses don't belong to the church, but into their grouping to try and tell them what they believe. The big thing that was missing, of course, is they were commemorating the death of Jesus Christ on Wednesday, March the 23rd, but there wasn't one word of the resurrection.
Ooh. Yeah, see, I don't get those.
Yeah.
They target my house. They no longer come to it.
Well, I used to think they did mine too, but no, it was in there. So I don't know. What do you put a big sign out front? No JWs or something? But
no. In fact, when my kids were younger and the Jehovah Witnesses were coming, they'd pop popcorn, go out and sit in the lawn chairs and listen to me talk to them. And I would talk about Christ. You know?
Well, yesterday's program, they had come to the home of a pastor. They were talking to his daughter, and then the pastor kind of took over and simply asked them the question, you know, were they following the will of God? And they said, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. And then he asked them, I believe, well, are you doing it? And the lady said, well, we're trying. And he said, well, God didn't ask us to try. He asked us to do it. And she got kind of frustrated and ended up leaving. And that makes my point again, that the law is really the thing that these people don't understand. They just can't believe that they are that unworthy to save themselves.
Right. And another passage that I use quite often is Colossians, especially chapter 2. And in there, it talks about in him, in Christ, dwells the fullness of the deity. And they have problems getting around that.
No, there's no doubt about that. So, all righty. Any comments that you might want to have? We don't have enough time to do Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. But what would be a highlight that you would want to get across to our listening audience today?
Oh, my. The whole celebration of Lord's Supper, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, it's good because Christ died for us, and then Easter with the resurrection. But, you know, they talked about it in the Passion that Jesus died of suffocation. And if you go back into Luke 23 and John 19, you know, Jesus didn't die because of suffocation. I'm having trouble getting the words out.
That, it sounds like you're suffocating.
Yeah, suffocating. But that really, he put his hands into his life, his spirit into God's hands, or he said, it is finished, and then he died.
Yeah, in other words, the point you're making, it wasn't a physical ailment that normally would take place on the crucifixion. Sometimes it would take 3 to 5 days, but within 6 hours, he gave up the spirit because he said it is finished. And that's a really important point because as a professor I had, Dr. Martin Charlemagne, said, Jesus looked all the way back to the first person ever created, that was Adam and Eve, and all the way to the last person, saw that he had fulfilled the will of the Father in forgiving every one of those sins, and there was no reason for him to continue because he had fulfilled the last prophecy, which was, I thirst. And having done that, he therefore said, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And the centurion, truly this must be the Son of God, because he saw something happen there that had never happened at any other crucifixion, where the criminal was able to give up his life when he wanted, because that is the power only God has.
Exactly. I think that's very well said. And I've used that illustration many times, and it has moved people coming out of church saying, I never thought of it that way, that Christ died for everybody. His love was that strong that even to the last person that was ever born, his blood covers the sins of everyone.
See, that's really important in evangelism. As Lutherans, we don't say, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins will be forgiven. Our statement is, your sins have been forgiven. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a person who goes to hell is not somebody for whom Christ died, but it is somebody who rejects the gift and refuses to receive it.
Right. And I think it's important, too, you know, when we talk about what are the highlights, is when we see that, when I saw that cross coming through New Orleans, it reminded me of, we've talked about it before on broadcasts about the glorious exchange, you know, that in holy baptism, when we are baptized, God takes off our robes of sin and puts onto us Christ's robes of righteousness. And we see that on the death of suffering and death of Christ upon the cross.
Yes, and that glorious exchange is therefore a promise that is found in the waters of baptism and then continued in the Lord's Supper. That's why I kind of appreciated the Passion. They didn't metaphorically talk about the Lord's Supper. They said, this is my body, this is my blood. And that's really critical and important to understand.
Yes, I found it quite interesting. As he distributed the bread, he started down one side, got to Judas, stopped, went to the other side, and then went down through the entire line. And then finally, Judas was the last one.
Judas did receive it in the film. I had missed that.
Yes, he was the last one to
receive it. Scholars disagree among themselves as to whether or not Judas had already left, you know, to go to the Pharisees to tell him, or whether he had actually received it. But at that point, of course, he was hypocritical. And we pastors need to be very careful that when we refuse communion to someone, it's because they confess that they don't believe what we are saying about the body and blood, about the church, about the Jesus Christ. And at that point, Judas was still not very open about his true beliefs.
Yes, I would agree with you. I think it's a time for us to point them to Jesus and the fact that as we believe it, as Jesus is our Savior from our sin, you know, not just, I believe it was a historical sort of thing that went on.
Well, I'll tell you, this weekend is a great opportunity if you have a family member who hasn't been to church for a while, or a neighbor, or maybe their kids, to bring them to church, because usually the Easter service is one of the highlights. The choirs are singing. Sometimes they have orchestration, this sort of thing. And usually that's a sermon that most pastors spend quite a bit of time on.
Right. And it's a wonderful time to talk about sin, and especially the forgiveness of sins that we have in Christ.
Yeah, I always tended to stay away from the theme. Well, it's about time you et cetera Christians are
right
here. Do you know what I mean by et cetera?
Yeah, well, the et cetera is, the Christmas and Easter crowd shows up.
Well, there's a T.
What?
A T.
A T?
Yes. There's one other time.
One other time. What's the other time?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
That's why I call it et cetera.
Et cetera. Thanksgiving and Christmas.
But it's kind of like you finally get a date with somebody you want to go out with, and you asked her maybe 10 times, and all during the date you keep pestering her. How come you didn't go with me when I asked you the first time? What was wrong with me? And that's all you talk about. Rather than give her an experience with a great restaurant, maybe a fine movie she likes, where she really enjoys herself and wants to come again. That's what Easter needs to be about. Not so much a law against those who aren't there. There'll be enough law in the sermon because none of us truly believe the way we should. But that law covers everybody in the pew, not just the et cetera Christians.
You betcha. And I think it's a wonderful time for us to present the gospel, because we believe that faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ.
Well, you saw it on the faces of those folks in New Orleans. It's as though they had never heard the gospel, or they heard it in a way now that it was really well put together in this musical, where everybody was cheering when it came to hearing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
I think so. I would agree with you. I think it had a positive impact on people watching. Be interesting to see how it goes forward for many people out there. I mean, only God knows. We won't see some of those things.
The songs must be on a CD or something. I had never heard of it before, because a number of people were shown to be singing along with the actors as they sang their various songs. Did you notice that?
Yeah, well, some of the songs, if I remember right, date back to the 90s, and are contemporary type Christians. If you went to a contemporary church, you would have heard some of those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've got a point there. It may not just have been for the passion. They brought them together on that point. But that's really critical. And the most critical thing is the forgiveness of sins. I was just watching a movie last night, and this gentleman had done a terrible sin, and he thought he was going to hell for sure. And he was talking to a priest about it, but the priest wasn't getting across to him as well as he could that through repentance, God does forgive even the worst of sins. And I felt bad for the guy, because every person in the world has an idea in their old Adam that, boy, if they don't do God's will properly, then they're not going to heaven.
And it's a reminder, in our church, we welcome the imperfect, not the perfect.
Yes.
Ones that don't see themselves in sin, but those that know that they have sinned will find forgiveness and love in the cross of Christ.
That's why we teach in Bible class and the catechism that the way that you become appropriate to receive the Lord's Supper is to confess that you are unworthy to receive the Lord's Supper because of your sin, and God therefore definitely welcomes you as you've gone through the instruction.
Yeah, well said.
Now, I'll be preaching Good Friday at Trinity Orchard Farm. That's out in St. Charles on Highway 94. And it's a Good Friday evening service at 7 p.m. And then we're all going to be looking forward to the great Easter celebration. I'm going to probably be attending St. Paul de Pere. And one of their services, they have that new organ that they put in there. So I'm kind of looking forward to hearing some of the music there because it's going to be tremendous. What are you doing for the Easter?
I plan on attending Easter services at St. Paul's.
Oh, really? But not...
Paducah, Kentucky.
Paducah, Kentucky. Wow. So, yeah, that's not only do the Jehovah's Witnesses not let you come to their church, but most of the churches in Illinois know you too, eh?
Well, we got to go see family.
Yeah, I know. Thank you so much, Wes. Appreciate it. Next Thursday, we'll be back on the air and continue our discussion on rumination. I'm Tom Baker, Wes Reimnitz. Have a blessed Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter, and we will be back to talk to you on Monday about the first Sunday after Easter.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.